This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm yours, James Seltzer. It is Friday, July the 20th, as finally we get back to Phillies baseball. We're done with the Machado rumors and the All-Star break and the lack of the opportunity to watch our team go out and play baseball, especially with how much fun they've been having and how much fun it's been to watch them, obviously sitting in first place up a half game in the NL East as play will resume tonight. The Phillies facing off against the San Diego Padres, starting a six-game homestand that will be followed by three against those Los Angeles Dodgers. Any storylines in that one? Chase Utley coming back to town before he retires for the last time. Maybe Manny Machado coming to town as well. So we'll get to all that. There's a lot to discuss coming up. Speaking of Manny, why don't we start there? Because there were some interesting developments in the sense that I think a lot of people have had the fear that if the Phillies couldn't trade for Machado, that they would be at a disadvantage to sign him this offseason because he could go somewhere and really like it and want to stay there. And LA is a fun place. And we just lost LeBron there, if you're a Sixers fan and all that stuff or whatever. But I think that, and this is kind of where my head was at going in. I actually thought the Dodgers probably one of the better teams you could get traded to because A, they're up against the luxury tax already and have a lot of money committed moving forward, plus guys they're going to have to pay. So it didn't seem like an ideal spot or a team that was probably going to pony up a ton of money. They have a deep farm system. They, you know, Diaz, who they gave up, who was the top prospect the Orioles could have gotten in any of the deals, as he was a higher ranked prospect than Medina and a better package than the Phillies could put on the table based on that guy in the Orioles' eyes. But regardless, the Dodgers could afford to do it for a rental. And interesting stuff coming out as Bill Shankin, of course, a Los Angeles Dodgers reporter out there in L.A. Tweeted, and this is Farhad Zaidi, the GM of the Dodgers, on Machado's pending free agency. The quote from the Dodgers GM: "This is about 2018 for us. We hope he plays well and creates a good market for himself." I mean, that's pretty blunt, saying that signing Machado long term is not the answer, you know. And again, they have Corey Seager there, who is their long-term answer at shortstop, coming off the Tommy John surgery, should be ready to go next season. Obviously, that shouldn't historically hasn't affected hitters, and obviously, if pitchers can come back from it and continue and succeed, I'm sure someone at a position spot, of course, that doesn't have the same stress on the arm, could get it and come back as well, as we've seen other guys have it and come back, like Adam Eaton and others. So I feel pretty good about the Dodgers, at least in the terms of the long term in Machado in the offseason, because I don't think that it was an ideal landing spot for him long term. Obviously, in the near term, it is a bummer, as it really, obviously makes them the favorite in the National League and a team the Phillies are contending with for playoff spots, playoff success, all that type of stuff. But Buster Olney also had an interesting take in his article yesterday on the Phillies. Olney said, as it was an article about what teams are going to do next, the teams that lost out on Machado, all that. Olney said on the Phillies, "Their pursuit of Machado will need to be postponed until the offseason, when they should be the favorites to land the shortstop in free agency by using their tremendous resources and payroll flexibility." How about that? He also said the Phillies should have the opportunity in the next 12 days to have pitching depth and a veteran infielder like the Royals' Mike Moustakas, as some of the sellers looked at them salaries. Barrichello could be an option for the bullpen. We discussed Barrichello yesterday. We talked about some of the relievers. Some news on that coming up. But again, I think this is all positive stuff. I mean, only goes so far as to say the Phillies are the favorites to land Machado. And he says they have tremendous resources and payroll flexibility, which they do. So, again, for all those people out there that are worried about the trade not coming here affecting their chances to get him in the offseason, I think that is at least much less of a worry, both because of the comments coming out of L.A. and also because of just the position the Phillies have put themselves in. And, again, Machado does know this front office, and he knows that we wanted him here, and they had the Manny sign that he heard about and all, or saw or whatever it was and all that. So, look, it just because he went to the Dodgers here and is going to have a run there doesn't mean that he's not going to come to Philadelphia in the offseason, and John Middleton's not going to put cash on the table and say, I want you more than everybody else, and he's going to come here. So I still think, look, if I had to bet right now on a team that is going to get Machado, as Buster only said, I would bet on the Phillies. I think they've made it clear in everything we've heard they're going to be aggressive in the offseason. Look, Harper, Machado, both, who knows? But I think they're going to be aggressive, and I think Machado is again, I think they value Machado, as they've made it very clear. All right, so moving on from Machado, as we can, until the offseason, officially shut the book on that again. I really do believe Machado will be a Philly, or has a really good chance to be a Philly in 2019, but for now, we will root against him on the Dodgers, but not too hard, as we still want him to come here. There was some other trade news, as the next kind of biggest trade chip on the market, at least from a pitching perspective, the relief pitching for to be specific, is Brad Hand off the market, the Padres closer, the lefty. We talked about Brad Hand a ton here on this show, as he just seemed like a really perfect fit to come in and be the complement to Sir Anthony Dominguez as the righty-lefty combo, and the ability to close out games, but also to come in other spots. And it really just allowed Gabe some flexibility in the pen and matchups like he liked to do. And the best part about Hand is that he was signed for three more seasons. So really not just a rental in the sense of the Machado thing, but ultimately the Cleveland Indians swooped in and said, yeah, we're getting Brad Hand. They gave up the top catching prospect in the minors, a top 5 to 10 prospect in the whole sport, depending on where you look. Keith Law had him as the number 5 prospect. So he is a very, very, very highly touted prospect, as the Padres also threw in reliever Adam Simber as well, who's having a really good season quietly for them, as the Indians really fortified their bullpen. It's, again, a move that makes more sense for a team like the Indians, even though they will have hand costs controlled for a little while. They are a team that has a window now. And, you know, they were in the World Series a couple years ago. They've been in the playoffs multiple years. So they are a team that needs to go for it. They have Kluber. They have a young middle infield that is the best in baseball. And, you know, they got Lindor and Ramirez are studs, unbelievable players. Lindor might be my favorite non-Philly in the game. They call him Happy, Mr. Happy, because he's always smiling. And he just has a great way about him and the way he plays the game. And he's a terrific defensive player. It's fun to watch. But regardless, I think, you know, it makes a lot of sense for them to add Hand, is that was the real weakness of their team. And they are a team that has the ability to look past the division towards the playoffs. They're 8 games up, 9 games up, something like that on Minnesota and the rest of the division. So it makes sense. And if the Indians are willing to give up a top 5 prospect in baseball, top 10 prospect in baseball, the Phillies can't match that. They don't have that. And if that's what the Padres were looking for, it's hard to argue. The Padres system now is just absolutely loaded, as you look at Mejia, let's say top 5 prospect in baseball. They also have Fernando Tatis, who's a top 2-3. Most people have him at 1. Keith Law has him at 1. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is high as well. But Fernando Tatis Jr., the shortstop in the Padres system, a top 2 prospect in baseball. They also have a pitcher, Mackenzie Gore, is a top 10 prospect in baseball. They have a infielder named Luis Urias, who's a top 20-ish, top 30-ish prospect. Another lefty who's top 40. They've really done a good job of restocking the farm system. AJ Preller got a lot of flack a couple years ago when he came in and kind of tried to build something and it fell apart, but he's done a good job kind of rehashing things and kind of rebuilding. So shout out to AJ Preller out there in San Diego. But regardless, hand off the market. We talked a lot yesterday about kind of the backup plans now that the Machado thing is out of reach. And we talked about Moustakas and Escobar and Beltre and Merrifield and Donaldson and all those types of guys. And the starting pitching stuff, Happ and Hamels, I know they've been connected to them, the Phillies. And Michael Fulmer, another name that I've seen connected to the Phillies here and there, is a guy who could go from the Tigers. If the Phillies are looking for starting pitching, again, I find that harder to believe. I think the bullpen is the spot, along with a bat, where the Phillies are most likely to upgrade. So hand off the market, that does affect them. Still a lot of names out there. Zach Britton, Joachim Soria, Fernando Rodney, guys like that, Juris Familia, who wouldn't cost nearly as much as Brad Hand because they are rental players. So that is at least an advantage from that perspective. Speaking of these trades and all the prospects attached to it, the Phillies prospects, the top 10 midseason Baseball America list came out, and Keith Law also put out his top 50. And in Law's top 50, Sixto at number 21 overall, the top Philly. And interesting, because he had Jojo Romero at number 48, and he gave Alec Baum an honorable mention as well. Interesting, because on the Baseball America list, Romero is 6. They have Sixto number 1. Alec Baum number 2 on the Baseball America list. Very high. Everyone seems to be high on the first-round pick for the Phillies, which is nice to see, especially after how the Mickey Moniak situation has gone. But hopefully not that type of situation here. I don't think it is the way you look at him. Moniak, a high school kid who smaller, you couldn't project as well and all that, where, you look at Baum, a college kid who's bigger, stronger already and has shown power that Moniak never did. So you hope that's real. Baseball America has Medina at number 3, obviously, has been number 2 for a while in a lot of places, as we talked about. They had Sir Anthony Dominguez at 4, even though he's not really based on a service time, not eligible anymore, but I guess that was not updated, or he will not soon be eligible, potentially. And Yel De Los Santos up to number 5 on their list. That's pretty impressive. They have Jojo Romero at 6, again, showing the difference between this list. Keith Law is, as Romero is, his number 49 prospect in all of baseball, and the number 2 Phillies prospect, essentially. And he's number 6 on this list in Baseball America. After that, Ranger Suarez, another righty for the Phillies. And then Adam Haseley at number 8. Nice to see their other first-round pick hitter not falling completely off the map either. And then a couple pitchers. Pitcher and infielder on the bottom after that as Morales, Ray, and a pitcher, and then Luis Garcia, an infielder for the Phillies. But that's what's so interesting, because as we've been talking about the prospects and the Machado thing and all that, we talked about all the guys who were in the top 5, top 10 on certain lists before the midseason list comes out or whatever. But then, Franklin Quilome and Jalen Ortiz and Archimedes Gamboa, obviously Mickey Moniak, maybe not one you're going to hype up, but it shows that depending on where people are ranking and looking, obviously there is a lot of variation between how these scouts view different players. But at the same time, I think what it shows is that the Phillies do have a lot of quality depth. They might not have the top end prospects other than Sixto, and even then, he's not a top 5 prospect in the sport or whatever, like Mejia, who was traded to the Padres from the Indians for Brad Hand. So they don't have that stuff, but they have depth, a quality of depth there. And ultimately, I think that as we've seen their farm system ranked high recently in many years as well, among others in baseball. So look, I think that matters, and you get depth. And if you can sign a guy like Machado and Harper, then you can add to that depth, and you have young players who come up and are cheap and can fill in and give you spots. So we'll see. And then some, maybe you hit big on some. But right now, you have to feel good about where the Phillies are at from a depth in the farm system perspective and the future based on that. And the money they have to spend is only pointed out that is so huge. This team is just set up so perfectly for the future. And they're competing now. They were setting up for 2019 and beyond with all this stuff. And they're competing. They're in first place in the National League East right now. And I don't think the team expected this. And now they're, that's kind of been the situation here. How much do you mortgage for this future there? That, and again, these also prospects can be assets for other deals when maybe you need an upgrade really more, and it can mean the difference between winning World Series and not, which, you never know. Machado could have been, but unlikely that he would be the difference between winning a World Series and not. But regardless, the Phillies really well positioned for the future, and we'll obviously talk about that more as the season goes on, but you have to feel good heading into the second half of that. All right, coming up, we'll preview the second half here as we will look ahead to some questions that we have heading into the second half. And, of course, tonight's matchup in with San Diego and the homestand and beyond coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We are coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we look ahead now. Phillies baseball is back. The Padres in town tonight. Jake Arrieta will take the hill against Clayton Richard, the Padres left-hander. We'll preview that coming up in just a little bit. First, I want to take a second and just look ahead as we are sitting here in the beginning of the metaphorical second half of baseball. After they take their break, obviously, the second half of baseball began really in late June in terms of number of games, but looking at the beginning of the second half here, first of all, the Phillies, Joe Giglio tweeted this out yesterday, brought it to my attention, crazy to think about, but Bovada right now is the Phillies has 6-1 to win the National League and 15-1 to win the World Series. They are the third highest odds in the National League to win the World Series, to win the National League right now, as the Dodgers 3-1, the Cubs 7-1, then the Phillies at 6-1, the Diamondbacks, Braves, Brewers, and Nationals after that, so it's pretty interesting. It's always nice to see that Vegas knows things. They're smart. So it's good to see that they're in on the Phillies there as well. But regardless, obviously, it doesn't mean much. But you feel good where the Phillies are at and where they're playing. But some questions when you look at the second half coming up again and thinking about, what are the biggest questions for this team right now? What don't we know? What can't we count on? As again, we hope to see this team make the playoffs for the first time since 2011, and certainly, if nothing else, play meaningful September baseball since then. And look, I think that we've already talked about that, how they've gotten through the hardest part of their schedule. The schedule has some tough spots here, but also some easy spots as well, as it is on the easier side as far as the National League contenders go. But you look at five big questions for the second half. First and foremost, obviously, I think the first thing is the trades, because we don't know what the final roster that we're going to end up seeing in those big games in September is right now, because there are guys who are not on this roster right now who will be a part. The Phillies are going to make some moves. They might not be huge moves. They might not be sexy moves, but they're going to make some moves, and we can't really judge the roster completely until we know what those moves are. But obviously that is an unknown, as we've talked about, and we will certainly chronicle up until July 31st, which is going to be like a fun little ride here for this team to even think about those types of things. Also, obviously, I think one of the main questions, number two for me, that jumps to mind immediately is can the starting pitching keep it up? And I think we all feel confident that Aaron Nola can. But I'm sure there are questions for many people about Pivetta and Eflin and Velasquez, and of course Arrieta, and especially if those first three guys can duplicate the success they've shown in the first half of the season. I am bullish on them just from watching every game and seeing how they've pitched and the movement and the how they work and all that type of stuff. But again, these are guys who have not proven it over a full season. And, we need to see that to know that they can really do it. So that's going to be a huge, huge storyline and factor in how this team finishes out the season. Is obviously, this is the one thing they've been able to count on from start to finish so far this season has been the starting pitching. I think that's pretty clear there. Next question, when you look at number three, obviously, which version of the bullpen are we going to see? Are we going to see the bullpen that has been absolutely awesome in July and at the very end of June? Or are we going to see the bullpen that was disastrous before that? And again, I think obviously this is something that will be affected by trades and all that, I believe. But that is going to be obviously another huge factor for this team, especially in September, as if they can make it to October. The bullpen is such a big part of that. And we've seen that with a team like the Indians that, again, they did this similar thing a few years ago and traded for Andrew Miller when he still had a few years left on his deal, and they gave up two top prospects. One of them who's now a top 10 to 15 prospect in baseball in Justin Sheffield. And they were willing to do that to get a guy like Andrew Miller, who came in and ended up being such a gigantic weapon for them that season and almost won them the World Series. But regardless, so I do think that going on adding to the pen is going to help, but that is certainly a big question mark for the second half of the season. Number four, how will the youth perform in the pressure in September and potentially October, which is a really a great question, because look, it's all well and good to you know, win some one-run games and play some fun baseball and be resilient and all that during the regular season, but then it gets real late September and October, and can these young guys who've never been through it handle it? And I tend to think, look, I think they certainly can, at least from what we've seen so far. They've been really resilient, and they've bounced back from every failure, but at the same time, it's tough, and I do think experience matters in a lot of these spots. Not always. There can be special things that happen and teams that just work right and all that, and pitching that just pitches above and beyond or whatever. But you know, Kapler too is a young manager in the sense of that as well, so it's going to be a really interesting thing to watch as the season gets tighter and tighter. And then the last one is, I think, pretty obvious. Do the Braves keep it up, and are the Nats done? You know, as the Phillies, it's funny because we had all thought, oh, maybe they could get a wild card spot. That'd be cool. But now we're like, let's win this division. The Braves are not that good. Like, they have been right there with the Phillies all season, but have started to fall back a little bit. And also, you could see how they could regress with some of the pitching they have and some things that you can't count on. But of course, you can see the Phillies regressing too with their youth and all that. So it's going to be interesting. And then, of course, the Nationals, who've just been cratering over the last few weeks, is now sitting right at 500 there. So it's going to be interesting to see if they make a push, if they make a trade, or if this team can kind of pull it together and make a run here. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. And I think that is going to be a major storyline to watch over the second half. And of course, how this Phillies team does in that situation as well, the first time they'll be in those type of pressure pack situations as well. All right, looking ahead, 6-game homestand starting tonight with Jake Arrieta on the hill against Clayton Richard, the left-hander for the Padres. Should be fun to finally get Phillies baseball back after it feels like it's been forever since we watched them play, especially coming off the two losses against the Marlins. You want to get that bad taste out of your mouth. It felt a little better watching Rhys Hoskins dominate on the national stage. It felt a little better when Aaron Nola was striking out Mookie Betts and getting Mike Trout to pop out. That all felt cool, but I need the Phillies to get back and win some games. And a nice spot here against a Padres team that has been bad all season long, just traded away one of their, you know, two of their best relievers. Nice spot to be in here coming out of the break here. Arrieta coming off his best start in a long time. Hopefully he has refound his mechanics, refound that feel. The cutter looked better in the last outing. You hope that can continue. And then Vinny Velasquez against Luis Perdomo tomorrow. That should be a good one as well. Nice to see Velasquez get back on the hill, coming off a few nice performances since going on the DL. Nice to see him healthy and out there. And then Nick Pivetta against Tyson Ross on Sunday. So you feel very good about those matchups against the Padres. After that, the Dodgers coming to town, Chase and Manny, and then the Phillies will head on the road to face the Reds, the Red Sox, Miami down the line, Arizona coming down the line, then these Padres again out there. So it's going to be a fun series this weekend as the Phillies can hopefully get back on track, start winning some baseball games again, putting some pressure on the Dodgers and gear up for a trade deadline that is going to be, it's going to be exciting, because they're going to be in it and they're going to be, I believe, making moves. I really do. I think they're going to fortify the pen, fortify a bat or two, a bat somewhere there. They're going to do something, and it's going to be fun to see what happens and see who's coming in and watch this team compete. So we'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. back Monday with Phillies Today. But until then, we've got you covered all weekend long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.